You know, is it just this ritual? We go up to the priest or the minister, whatever type of title they heap to themselves. You know, well, this is the body of blah, 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 blah. And it's, and that's it. And thus he instituted the ritual of communion. I say no. To eat and drink Christ's body and blood means that he becomes our everything. You know, say not in your heart, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first, and all those things. Don't seek food first. Don't seek clothing. Jesus is our clothing. We got to put on Christ, as it is written. We have to eat and drink his flesh and blood. But it does not mean the elements, you know, the actual little wafer they hand you and the wine. That's not what he really means. To eat and drink Christ is that he becomes an essential part of your life. He is an essential and the most needful part of anyone's life who cares to inherit eternal life. I mean, you want to inherit eternal life? You got to eat and drink his blood. You've got to make him your everything. You know, just like that woman, she cast in her all, her living. And so what the eating the bread and drinking the wine symbolizes is our complete dedication to Christ. And when they shared it with each other, it speaks to the communion. And what is communion? It means the fellowship. It is the fellowship of his body, the fellowship of his blood. And fellowship refers to that thing, koinonia, the common thing, the coin, that which is common to all of us who believe. Christ, his body, his blood. We eat it, we drink it, all together now. That we should be of one mind and of one purpose in the body of Christ. In eating and drinking him, we eat and drink the same things, the same spiritual food, the same spiritual drink. Now I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 or 10. 10. They did all drink that same spiritual drink, that same spiritual food. And that was Christ that followed them, the manna, the water. It symbolized, it was an element. And this also is an element. Is there anything wrong with getting together and going through the motions? No. But what's wrong is when you go through the motions and you think the motions are what he was instituting, or what he was interested in, or the mindset you're supposed to keep. It is not about the motions, it is not about the elements, but it is about the spirit of the thing. What underlies it? What underpins it? What it's really all about? We have to be looking at the actual thing. You know, not the mere image of the thing. Not the crude copy of the thing, but the actual thing. Somehow, people realize, yeah, we are supposed to look at the actual thing, the real thing. We are supposed to be thinking of the literal body and blood of Christ. And so what they do then is they come up with transubstantiation, which is the Catholic doctrine that the elements turn from regular bread and wine into the corpuscles of Christ and the cellular tissue of Christ, apparently, because they say it literally becomes his body and blood. I mean, when I say that, though I know that's a correct interpretation of transubstantiation, I feel like I want to be apologetic for them and say, well, literally, spiritually, that would be closer to the truth. But they don't have the truth. So they're actually out there saying, I call it the corpuscles of Christ doctrine. The doctrine that when you eat the body and blood of Christ, that it becomes, they say, when the priest blesses it, it becomes in you, it's a miracle. Everyone's looking for small miracles. I mean, the evangelicals want the Bible itself to be a miracle. The Catholics look to the miracles of their sacraments. And they try to turn small things into great things, miraculous things. But it's an error. The miracle I look for is a life that is transformed to match his life. When by eating his body and drinking his blood, I become him. I grow up into him, as Paul said. That by, you know, making him my everything, and the first thing, and the most important thing, I mean, food isn't everything to us, right? But it is everything if you don't have any. You know, if you need to eat, you can't live without it. Except by some power or miracle. Without food, you're going to die. And that's the point about Christ. Without Christ, we're going to die. We must eat his body. We must drink his blood. We must have fellowship with each other in that. It should be common to us. Thousands of years of tradition, the real meaning somehow is lost to many. I also know there are many who do understand the real meaning. I rejoice in that. The blood of Christ is shed for us, not in vain. You know, so many people, I was talking about this just yesterday in the study that, you know, they treat it as if all you have to do is believe to be saved. And so everything and they think they've simplified the gospel, but they've actually made it incredibly complex. And let me show you how. And not in a good way. They say, you know, when you believe from that moment, you're saved, and the Holy Spirit, as soon as you believe, the Holy Spirit has come, you know, without any sort of outward manifestation. I remember wrestling with that idea early in my walk. Having this, I believed, and they say, well, as soon as you believe, the Holy Spirit comes and enters your heart. And it just seemed kind of like bogus. And it is bogus. It's bogus. I know now I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came to me later in a way that I could know that I had the Holy Spirit. You know, they just take someone's word at it. I don't see any reason in the scripture why. You know, they say, well, since you've believed, you've received the Spirit. And it's like, well, have you actually received it, though? You could believe without receiving the Spirit. Peter believed he didn't receive the Spirit till Pentecost Day. Not in the sense that the reason that happened on Pentecost was so that there would be like this definitive moment where they could say, the Spirit of God truly entered into me at that moment. In the Christian sense of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But they say to people that basically from the time they believe and they accept the Lord as their personal Savior, etc., etc.,